everyone, welcome to Get Them Onside, and don't be sad, two out of three ain't bad. Once again, we can't get the great man in studio, so it's just myself and Sean the Trader. Hello, Seano.
Where is he?
I'll tell you where he is. So it is the week where Prince Harry is at home writing his memoirs. Lisa Wilkinson, memoirs, and the great man from Chaigneau writing his memoirs, possibly about the bet of the year, Dan. Congratulations. How are you, Dan?
Thank you. Yes. Although it would be dishonest of me not to acknowledge that at about Friday at 4 o'clock, I was very angry when I saw that Mitchell Moses was out, and all of a sudden, bet of the year wasn't so much of the year. But
will there be a chapter in the memoir about the WhatsApp message that might have had the word rescind in it?
But the general public, our audience, didn't see that message, so it doesn't count. I couldn't believe. I still can't believe how bad the Titans are against good opposition.
Terrible.
That was a chance for them, and they were pathetic. To be down, 20-0 at halftime.
A little bit blessed, though, I thought. Like the Proctor, was it Proctor that got binned for that dangerous, which I'm okay with, but we've never seen those get bin in the past. We've got another, we've got another interpretation change on the fly. But the game was well in the balance then, and I thought that just sort of took the head out of it.
But Sean, they can't score points against good teams. That was the reason. It was more about the Titans' offense than offense. God, become an American. offense and defense. But are we all excited about? I know. You're going to introduce this shortly, Joel. But are we all excited about Tokyo? Because I've got to say, in the last sort of 24, 48 hours, I've actually started to read some stuff about it, and I'm actually looking forward to it. I'll end up watching 30, 40 hours when I was planning to watch none.
Is there one niche weird sport that you're more excited about than anything else?
I will watch every minute of the Boomers because I did that for Rio, and I think they're a certainty to win a medal. We'll get the best bet shortly. Not a gold. I don't think I've beat America in a match that matters, but the competition around them is a bit weak. But I'll end up watching a lot of that. In terms of the niche, I see we've projected gold in BMX. I can't see myself watching BMX. I like the simple sports. Archery is a sport, but I don't think we've got any contenders there.
The pistol shooting I find strangely enjoyable to watch as well. There's something weird about watching them because
shooting. Not the clay pigeons.
No, not the clay. When they use it, it's not really a gun. It's like this wooden sort of thing. Because they stop their heartbeat, and it's all very technical.
All very technical. Now, we'll get to the Olympics very shortly, Dan. However, if you know, you know. A great punting scholar once said that once upon a time. It's a famous phrase these days. If you know, you know. And you knew on the weekend. You knew Parramatta were the bet of the year. And you also thought there was a bet of the year in the Gulf. What did you come up with?
Well, I said on this podcast, Jordan Spieth to win, so I'm sorry we got so close for those that may have taken that. But I also had Colin Morikawa in Quinella. Sean knows I'm obsessed with the Quinella bet in golf because you flum it, it's a big win. It's a big win. I didn't have much on it, but I don't want to talk about the victory, but what I'd want to talk about...
Yes, you do.
No. It was the most torturous 5 hours, and I realised I think golf, major golf, is the most arduous sport to bet on for a big result. A horse race is over in 2 minutes. A test match is over in 5 days, but you get a sense of where a test match is going.
Yeah.
The British Open, it could be over in one shot. So my position, I was in the winning position for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. My God, I've never been more nervous watching sport with money riding on it because at any time, Jordan Spieth can put one on 14 out of bounds or any. It only takes one bad shot and that bet is ruined.
I was going
to
say.
So I'm putting it to you. That golf is the most arduous, punishing sport to bet on.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing. The two majors that obviously can turn on a dime is the British Open, because you get in that bloody hay and you're gone. And also, and the Masters as well. We know how hard, as a general rule, Augusta is. I was on Justin Rose the year that Sergio broke through. Oh, and Rose yes. was, I think you could get $1.25 or $1.30 or something on the 13th hole.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he shits the you know what.
Talk about bad beats. If you're on the Cowboys boys at the plus, wasn't that a bad beat? But they were home.
Yeah.
They were almost. They always honestly thought they were going to win the game.
Very, very flattering result for the Roosters, that one. And I was actually in a WhatsApp thread watching that game, and it was borderline, not sad. Sad's too strong. But Josh Morris almost looked like. I know it's only one performance, but the speed of the game might just have caught up, and he's dropped this week. Hopefully, we see him back, but. Your boy, that's the combination now for the Billy Smith and Joey Manu. That's the combo. It's hard to see how J-Moz breaks back into that team.
Oh yeah. What about the Savage? Savage was good, wasn't
it? We spoke about it briefly off air, but it was a cracking weekend of footy. It's copped a lot of shit this year with a lot of the blowout results, but I thought all in all it was a cracking weekend.
Dan, you mentioned offense. Now, it's a bit of a season coming up now. August 1 is the cutoff date for the transfers, but all of a sudden we're hearing about the MILF. We're hearing about Pangai possibly going to Penrith, which has been scuppered, but now maybe it's back on the table. What are you making of all this? What I don't like is I almost feel like if you're going to loan a player at this time of year, it's almost got to be a rule they're signed next year. I don't like the idea of a team not being able to make the finals and all of a sudden you go and pinch their best player to go and have a tilt at the end of the season, which I could easily see happening. What do you make of the transfer time?
Why was it moved to August? I mean, this was probably some deal done with the Players Association regarding the pay cuts last year, because it also happened around the same time. So maybe they were okay with pay cuts, but let us go to August 1. But it's ridiculous to think that the MILF could be a premiership player with Penrith. Wasn't that mooted that he could go to Penrith?
Yeah.
I know Pangai was one. Parramatta.
Parramatta.
Pangai was at Penrith. What's our game coming to? I mean, this pinch hitting. I mean, yes, someone like a Brett Finch was a great story, but he was sacked by Parramatta. So it was a great story of redemption. This, you know, we'll help you out here. We're out of contention, so you can have our player for 6 weeks is absurd, and it has to be stopped by the NRL. It can't be stopped this year. And teams or clubs are well awake to it because they're leaving their squads one short just in case.
Yep.
Mm. So you've got to announce your 30th by August 1, your 30th player. Well, all they're going to simply do, if they don't have Milford Pangai type, they'll just bring up one of their young kids and just give them a bonus, an upgrade. Well done, son. You're part of the main squad for the rest of the season. Is this what our game is? I mean, June 30 was bad enough. Mm. And all of a sudden, no, the absurdity of June 30, in fact, wasn't absurd enough. Let's go to August 1. So I'm glad it's happening this year, though. I'm glad. Let's expose it for what it is now so the NRL has to take action.
Tell you what, a tricky thing is when you think about you've got a squad of 30, and that's what it is. You've got 41 people in the greater squad, including the coaching staff, etc., then the 30 players. Those players, sort of 20 to 30, they're not getting any games at the moment. So you're now running a risk where do you have to put some players in to give them some game time? Because if you need them in a month or two's time, they wouldn't have played for so long. So you're starting to see some young players just starting to get a game, which I suppose, Sean, you got to do.
Mm. What is the reason for the pushback this year? Is it just a once-off for COVID last year because the season was pushed back or something?
Yeah, I think also too. So most contracts start, I think, November 1 or October 1 it might have been, and now they've been pushed back. So the whole thing's been pushed back for all intents and purposes. Anyway, some big guns coming back this week.
You can bet your backside the Players Association will want this to stay at August 1 because it benefits them, it benefits players, more freedom. I'm not sure it was as temporary as you're saying, but you can bet the players don't want it to be temporary. So that's going to be a fight down the track.
Absolutely. Big guns coming back. You got Turbo coming back for Manly. He was rested. Now, I was watching the game on Friday night, and there was talk that Daly Cherry Evans was going to play. And all of a sudden, the 6 o'clock game, Parramatta are spanking the Gold Coast. And Dez is quite clever. For me, it felt like he was going, okay, well, Parramatta are winning this comfortably. Top four might be a bridge too far. I think I'm going to sit out Daly Cherry Evans because it looks now as though we, as in Manly, have got to go win four in a row at the end of the day, which they can do. He just wants them all healthy. Did you guys read it at all that way?
I don't know about real late call, but you said on Friday that you thought, like, early doors Friday, that's probably what he was thinking. And Dez has shown he thinks that way in some of the stuff he's done in the past. So it makes perfect sense for me. I think it's a really smart play.
Have you seen Parramatta's draw, though? It is frightening. Canberra, I think, can beat them this week, but let's give them that. And then the Roosters, well, the Roosters aren't what they were, but you never know. Then South, and they've had real problems with South. They've got Manly. Well, I'm looking here at Brookie, another, you know, rugby league tragedy that's not going to happen. They've got Penrith at some stage, haven't they? Or have I got that wrong? But they've got Melbourne, haven't they?
Yep.
So there's every chance Parramatta can lose enough games for Manly. Manly's problem is for and against because of those touch-ups they copped early in the year. But I don't think top four is as out of the realm as it looks. I don't think they'll get there. But with no Moses this week, I'll tell you what, if Canberra calls an upset, and I think they're a chance to do it, that opens the door.
And I can't wait to watch that all unfold for Parramatta and their run home. I think we're going to learn a great deal about them and where they really are. Because I know their ladder position, the wins and loss column, looks fantastic at the moment. But is it the real deal?
What's behind them? Like, have they had many scalps behind them? No.
Not that I can. They beat Melbourne real early
on the bell. On the bell, Sivo scored the try.
Yeah, but there was players out, and that one, I'm pretty sure there was. It's fallen their way so far. If they cop Melbourne, the danger is, I think it's quite late that one. There's a chance that the Storm arresting players and that sort of stuff. I'd love to see them get lapped by Storm.
Well, you've got to take into account this for Cronulla as well for your top eight betting. Cronulla plays Melbourne in the last round. So I think Cronulla. I think Cronulla will make it.
That's a great call, actually. Yeah.
Have a look at who gets Melbourne, who gets Penrith.
Yeah.
And you've sort of got to figure out South probably by then will be locked into third. So you just got to take all those into account.
I'll tell you what you do after the Knights lose this week. Back them for the top eight. They have got a dream run home. Pierce comes into the side. They'll make a rally. They'll be there. I thought the Sharks a couple of weeks ago. They've now in the last 3 weeks lost to the Broncos and the Raiders.
Yeah.
Wobbled by the Warriors. So I'm not as interested as you are, Dan. In fact, I had them for top eight. I've cashed out for them. Not sure about that. Mitch Moses, by the way, it's been confirmed he played with a fracture in his back. In State of Origin 3. But, boys, it's time to do this. Let's get your little Bambi pellets and your Bambi gun and go. You want to start, Shauno?
Yeah, I'll kick us off. Now, a lot's been spoken about the last couple of days, about the Tigers, West Tigers documentary, the behind-the-scenes sort of expose. What's it called? Tales of Tiger Town or something. Have you watched it?
I have, actually, last night.
Wild West. And it's great. I love that. I'm sick for that behind the scenes sort of stuff because, you know, as a punter, you don't get to see that. You know all about it. Obviously, being an ex-player, but it's good for the rank and file to get to see that. But one thing that did catch my eye was the CEO of the West Tigers, Pascoe, makes an appearance on this doco, and he's quite a... he's very frequent in front of camera, but he's dressed now. I don't know if he's trying to go for the Steve Jobs sort of man of the people type CEO. He had a black t-shirt on. You know, Jobsy used to wear the black t-shirt, blue jeans, man Jobsy. Of the people.
You mean Jobsy, yeah.
But he was CEO of the world's biggest company, very successful company. We've now got Justin Pascoe, who's the CEO of West Tigers, who were perennial bridesmaids for the last however long. And he sat there in a t-shirt, God knows where he was, but he had the tattoos down the arms, appearing. Not that I've got some rank tattoos, as Brian Fletcher calls them, don't get me wrong. But when you're the CEO and you're trying to, you know, establish your team as being professional and whatnot, it starts at the top. Put a suit on, Justin. You sit there with your long hair with slick back. Nothing wrong with the slick back.
What about the moose in your hair as you say that?
But come on. like, yeah. it start put a suit on,
yeah.
not even a tie. Just put a jacket and shirt on for me. Pretend like you're a CEO for 5 minutes. You look like an absolute pelican, Justin.
Wow.
I as soon as I saw it, I thought, it doesn't matter what comes out of this guy's mouth, he looks like a fool.
Yes.
And that's, but that's... is that on us or is that on him? Now, I think he should dress better as well. But really, does it matter what he dresses in the grand, how he dresses in the grand scheme of things? I would want my CEO a little more presentable. But in the end, it is just window dressing. But I thought the same. I thought, especially if there's cameras around. If there's cameras around, you have to present a more a respectful front.
They haven't caught him off guard, you know, just leaving the house on a Sunday morning.
I don't think it's the shirt and that you're upset with. I think it's the exposure of the tattoos. That's what we're not used to in any sort of industry.
The hair doesn't help.
Yeah, the hair and the CEO having exposed tats. That's for me the thing you're not used to seeing.
Maybe. But, you know, when your club hasn't been going that good and... There's been chat around, you know, the back room not having it shit together for the last however long. Well, is it hard to... It's not hard to wonder why when he's getting around like that, just looking like a bit of a slob.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you one thing about it. He did say in the doco that he doesn't get that excited when things are really good and he doesn't get too upset when they're bad. Well, you're at the right club, Justin, because it has been a long, long struggle for the West Tigers. Anyway, Dan...
Before we move on... Because my Bambi is not to do with the doco. Do we think more or less of Maguire after watching the first episode?
So this is the other thing that shocked me. I went on social media just to get a feel for what the reaction was. And the sort of loving about Madge...
It helps him.
..took me by... Oh, absolutely, it helps him. But yeah. I haven't seen anything in the documentary yet to say he's a coaching wizard. Of course he's going to stick up for his players and... give him a rev up pre-game. What do people think they were going to say? They've come out acting like we've uncovered Craig Bellamy behind the scenes.
You know, my number one observation out of seeing that doco, that first one, is it's very, very hard to get the message. For example, when the Dragons won the comp in 2010 and Sharks in 2016, the assistant coach, Stephen Price, was the man running the messages on. So it was directly coming from the coach to him, bang, and then you're making a big statement. I mean, everyone loves Ronnie Palmer, right? Andrew Gray is the medico type, I suppose, physio. Why is Ronnie Palmer running the messages out? Ronnie's been in the game a long, long time. No, but why haven't we got somebody who's... you know, very much close to Madge as far as the tactics are concerned and getting it out to the players and GM. I don't think it's for Ronnie Palmer, just quietly. What do you guys think?
There was a moment there where I think it was to do with, was it Tom McKayley? So he was coming on late in the game, might have been against Parramatta. And the message was, tell Tom, don't worry about the score, play the game that we talked about during the week. You know, do this in defence, do this in attack. And then... Make sure he knows. And then the message from Ron Palmer was, go well, son.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And there was a bit of Chinese whispers around. I was fascinated by the lack of tactics from Maguire. So there was one moment in a halftime break where he talked about, we have to push forward a couple of steps because what that means is that Parramatta don't get a roll on because right now they're getting a roll on, and then once we do meet them, then they're shifting it out there. I thought that's interesting tactics. That part, but that was about the only tactical bit we saw, and I wondered, is that the Madge style, or has there been an agreement? And I haven't asked anyone at Fox.
Ah, yes.
Has there been an agreement that we'll let you in, but you cannot give away tactics?
Yeah.
And that might have been the deal. And that would be fair. I would accept that because I think we're getting a closer look than we've ever got before. So if that's all we're missing out on, I'm okay with that. But I think we need to know because I'm going in. I'm now with the impression, is it just rah rah stuff? Or is it are we getting stuff being left out?
That's a great point.
I think they might be slightly overestimated themselves if they're worried about giving away too many tactics. I'd just take a step back there.
Mate, it's the most paranoid game in the universe.
Yeah, it's true. One thing, and it's done the rounds on Twitter till the cows come home, but it's very, very funny. The elite training facility signage on the demountable building. That's fantastic.
That was good.
I'll tell you, my only issue with the doco, sorry, Why was there, and it's a and I know it's my employer, so I've got to pump them up. I don't have to. I just didn't understand. Why did you have some swearing and then you beeped some?
No, I think that's to do with the rating. I think you can only have so many swear words in a given amount of time.
Right now? Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. I was thinking the same thing, but apparently that's the thing to classify as a rating.
Most Zimbo's daughter knows a few colourful words. She got the barrage sitting on Dad's knee there.
By the way, no accreditation, by the way. Anyway, that's another. There's a real Bambi for you.
Who are you bagging there?
No, I was just saying, like, if you wanted to be real pedantic, these days with accreditation, no one can get in, can they?
Nah. And I hope that's the last we see of the fans in a doco. That was nice. It was a nice flavour. But yeah.
There's a Bambi.
More Madge. I thought the smartest thing they did was, because I bet we all thought the same thing, load all the swearing in the first minute. Because when we saw that first minute and all the swearing, we thought, all right, here we go. And the ratings were huge. So they must know what they're doing in television land, because they sucked me. I was going to watch it anyway, but I was sucked in for sure once they got the first minute in.
You know what, though? They Sunderland Till I Die, they say that completely distracted the players. Like, it's a wonderful thing. Like, it's great exposure. But does it come with a risk? Who knows? But that, then again,
it should work the other way.
But then again, Man City. There's one for Man City, all or nothing. They went on and broke all sorts of records. Yeah. So maybe that's a cop out for Sunderland Till I Die. Dan, have you got a Bambi?
I've got a reverse Bambi. Mm. Okay. Actually, no. I got a Bambi. Story went around this week, and it happens every time there's a bit of financial hardship. And it's a wonderful idea, these restaurant owners with the pay what you can idea. So, you know, we understand it's hard. It's a beautiful idea.
Big in Newtown.
You know what ends up happening to those people? They always go broke because people take advantage of them. Yep. They'll get a beautiful spag bowl or something and they'll say, oh, it's only worth $5. You know, sorry, I can only afford $5. Every time these business hosts, a business hosts one of these things, they go down the drain. So there's my Bambi. Wonderful idea, but everyone's going to take advantage of you. Murray, the British Open. It's the British Open. I'm so sick of the self-righteousness of the Open people that you have to call it the Open because it's the championship of golf. They are so precious about this, particularly from the Americans. Dustin Johnson had to answer questions in his pre-tournament press conference about why is it that the Europeans now don't call the Masters the US Masters? We all call it the US Masters, but it's the Masters. But yet the Americans don't have the respect or just the wherewithal to call it the Open and not the British Open. They're obsessed with this. And Colin Morikawa copped it because he said, I will love the British Open forever. No, it's not the British. Listen, just, you know what? You host a tournament, the weather, you know, I profited off you. I'm very happy with the British Open, but it's the British Open. But here's my reverse Bambi. I have no problem with Anastasia Palaszczuk in Tokyo. And it's an easy whack, and I do not like this politician. I think she is unintelligent, and I think if she didn't have her 18 media assistants propping her up, she would not have a clue. But
he's always got me there with the
idea, this idea that, oh, the optics, oh, she got the Pfizer when she's over 50. It's the Premier of the state. Mm. I'm sick of this idea that the Premier or the Prime Minister has to live the way we live. No, they're above us, okay? We elected them into a position. We need them to perform at their best in those specific roles. So this idea, why is everything about the optics?
And hear, Dan, I'm with you.
I do enjoy that, you know, the IOC, one of the most corrupt organisations of the world, but Anastasia still has to kiss the ring. I still love the fact that the IOC basically said it'd be very rude if you didn't turn it. Very rude. It'd be a bad... They're the only ones with a legitimate bid. So she didn't have to go, but I have no problem with her going because it's one person and she's been jabbed up. Get on with it. We've got a million things to whack Anastasia and Gladys and Dan Andrews and ScoMo. We've got a million things. I don't care if she's in Tokyo.
Dan, well done. I'm with you. It is so tall poppy Australian, isn't it? Like, get her over there. Just do what we need to do. Who gives a rat's? I'm so with that. Anyway, my Bambi.
Well, here it comes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay. I'm really getting embarrassed by this, by the way. It is okay in the 41 people that you have up there in the hub, and my whack this week is going to the Warriors. I'm going to take you back to 1989, right, where the score is 9-2 at the Sydney Football Stadium, and it is the Tigers who are leading the Sharks 9-2. The Sharkies, with five on the clock, have a penalty right in front to take the score to 9-4. Let me have my Bambi.
No!
They have a chance to take it 9-4. They have scored zero tries in 75 minutes, right? But this has been going on for a long, long time, and I'm sick to death of this. We have wrestling coaches. We have physicians. We have all these sorts of things, but nobody knows how to do basic maths. On the weekend, right, the Warriors, with 4.5 minutes to go, they have a chance to take two. Right, blind Freddy could understand that you're not going to score against the Penrith Panthers. Three tries in 4.5 minutes. Three tries in 4.5 minutes. Not only do they not take it, no one even questions them for it, because we are embarrassing ourselves in rugby league that nobody knows basic maths. There are three types of people in this world: those who are good at maths and those who aren't. Right. And that is so rugby league of us to try and score three bloody tries in 4.5 minutes. Take the two. Yes, you're still long odds to win the game, but you're at least some bloody chance of winning the game. And the stupidity when it comes to numbers in maths and rugby league happens over and over and over again. And I'm done with it, Dan. I'm done.
I must ask a follow-up question. So the margin was 14.
No.
What was the line on that game?
No, I did not have an investment. I had the Warriors half full double.
Oh, 6.5. That's right.
I reckon it jumped a little bit bigger. I think the plus might have just been. I reckon it might have got to 8.5.
I shot at half time anyway.
Yeah,
I can't go with you, Joel.
How can you not go with me?
8-6, yes. 8-6, yes. Not 14-12, because you got to score tries.
Dan.
At that point. 8-6. Dan, then you can work out a way around it.
Dan, don't embarrass yourself. So, with 4.5 minutes left, it's going to take you at least 30 seconds or thereabouts, maybe a minute, and then you've got to get 2 and 3.5 minutes.
Here we go.
The maths, no, not here we go. The maths don't add up, and now you're embarrassing yourself.
You've got to convert twice. You've got to kick two goals.
It's remote as, I'd rather be on a horse to the Melbourne Cup at 500-1 to be on the horse who didn't make the field and can't win it. That's essentially what you're doing, Dan.
So now we've got, just remind me, Dan, we've got buy points. That's on the shelf. We're not allowed to speak about that. This is going on there as well.
Although it is moronic.
I will say that I 95% of the time I do agree with you.
Yes.
On that one. What's the other one? There's another one. Buy points to two.
We'll take a break and back with more. This is Get Them Onside.
They're sending a message.
Outside, and the field is set to run.
Sorry, everyone.
We're still alive in the quaddie.
Sportsbet's new Bet With Mates. Start your group and share in the moment. New from Sportsbet.
Some would say buy points, not taking the two in that scenario is a bit like rock climbing at the Olympics. Let's talk a bit about rock climbing, gentlemen. Not rock climbing, the Olympics. Let's talk about the Olympics and some markets. Now, note here, the 12.5 golds. The Sydney Morning Herald had a target or a forecast of 16. 12.5 golds, $1.70, $2.05. So over 12.5, $1.70.
You see, we've come out and we've stopped projecting how many golds. This is the Australian Olympic Committee. Oh. They generally set a target. Mm. They've scrapped it this year. Apparently, it puts too much pressure on the athletes.
No.
Come on. Puts pressure on the bookies.
They're worried about their own goals. They don't care for the
greater. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Puts pressure on us trying to come up with a number of how many they win. What's the angle here?
But then there's Sports Illustrated always come up with the sort of definitive prediction list, and then there's another organisation that came out in the Telegraph, might be in this morning's paper, Grace Note, and that's got Australia at 16, which I'm always sceptical of. We always seem to get more projected golds, although this time I was going to take the under for most golds, for 12.5 golds, just because we always market it incorrectly because it's Australia. But the swimming trials are only a month ago. The swimming trials had been 3-4 months ago before Olympics, and it always costs us. Now we've gone down the American path, and we've got, I think, 7 or 8 genuine gold medal chances in the pool. And I think given that the trials are only a month ago, our team is in form. I think it could be a gold rush.
Yeah.
A gold rush. I don't know about the $2.10, $8.5 golds is a lot in the pool. But I just think Kaylee McKeon and Emma McKeon, same sounding name, different surnames, could get 6 between them. So it might be a very special. I can't wait for 10 o'clock a.m. swimming in Tokyo. Tokyo's on the same time zone as us, and we're watching swimming at 10 a.m.
How good's that?
So we're in for 8.5 golds just in the pool, the 12.5 overall. Is that the distribution?
No, well, that's 8.5 at 2.10 versus $1.70.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Still.
The Boomers have been all the talk.
Mm.
So a big out there, of course. Benny Simmons not coming. Liz Cambay is not coming for the women's either. So $6 to win the gold. Everyone's saying we're going to medal. I'm a little bit nervous about this. $1.50 to medal in the Boomers.
Well, it's the USA and then take your pick, obviously, as it always is. But they did. Now, I'm no basketball expert, but even I know they beat the USA 2 weeks ago. Now it might have been, but that was a Mickey Mouse tournament. They always seem to, if they want to win, then they're going to win.
Yeah,
it's that sort of scenario. $1.50 does seem a little bit short though, because there's these countries that I don't, in my mind, they're not basketball countries.
Well, straight away I think about this, Sean, that, and if it goes this way, which I assume it does, if you meet the US in the semi-final, well, I suppose you've got the playoff for the bronze, haven't you? To go into the gold,
then
it's the playoff for the bronze. Yeah, so there you go.
But it's a weird setup, the basketball. It's only 12 teams in pools of three pools of four. So as long as Australia wins all their group games, they will avoid. I found it very complicated to go through, but I think they can avoid America until the final. Spain, I think, is the only legitimate threat to Australia for silver and the draw. But Spain's old. The Gasol brothers are pretty old. So Pau Gasol's 41. Ricky Rubio's a gun. But I think the opposition isn't as strong this time. And Paddy Mills is in extraordinary form. Joe Ingles is confident. We've got America doesn't have a big man. So it wouldn't absolutely shock me if we knocked off America. I wouldn't bet on it, but... back us to beat Nigeria at $1.25. Okay. Just get your Olympics off to a flyer. We will flog them. We flogged them the other night. We'll beat them by at least 15.
If you know, you know. The Opals, by the way, they're $1.40 to medal to win the gold, $13 there. So anyway, let's go into our best bet settlement.
This?
Yes.
Come on, you serve that up to me. You put the tee. You put the ball on the tee for Liz Cambage. I'll just say
load the gun. He couldn't. You dangle that carrot, he's going to bite.
Yeah.
Two things can have mental issues and be an ordinary person. Both things can be true. Mm. I'll just say that.
Okay. There you go. He couldn't have to get a little subtle one there.
Man, you kept serving it up, mate.
We put the cheese on the trap and you went, bang. Let's go for some best bets then, shall we? We might even multi these up, boys. I'm going to start with this one. Now, I'm hearing this is a gift at about $2.20. It is an Australian gold, Elijah Winnington, do as his name suggests and win. 400-metre freestyle, $2. I'm understanding that it's put in takeout. What I do like about the 400-metre jobs, you remember the missile in the 50 metres and the 100 metres, if you stuff the start up, there's no room for error. Right. But class prevails over the 400. You can muck the start up. You've got time to get it done. So I think that Elijah Winnington will be doing just as his name suggests, and I think he's a put-in takeout job at the $2, boys. And, of course, I'm a massive doyen when it comes to swimming. I can hardly swim the 50 myself. Anyway, Shawnee, where would you land?
Yeah, now, people wouldn't know this about me, but I fancy myself as a bit of a judo expert many years ago. Might have been the London Games now. I was head of judo at Sportsbet. Yeah, really took it under my wing and found a few winners. And I was inspired by – I hadn't looked at it for a long time, but I was inspired by Lachlan Lewis on the weekend, his little judo throw on Cody Walker. So I dived back into it. And the 90 kilos. Now, Cam, our producer, he gave me a Wikipedia page for this bloke. I think he thought I was joking about this tip. Yeah. I'm not joking.
I thought you were.
No. This guy, Nikolaos, now his name's an absolute tongue twister. Nikolaos Shirazdivili, 2-time world champion.
Yeah.
Georgian-born Spaniard, so representing Spain. The Georgians are sick for judo.
So you, you can have your Wikipedia page.
You can have your Wikipedia page. I don't need that. Two-time world champ. I mentioned him on the radio on your radio show on Tuesday night. He was $3.10.
Wow.
He's now, so the other judo experts have just climbed on board. He's now even money. It's still too big. Just get on and watch Big Nicolas do his thing.
There you go. Dan, where have you landed?
How do favourites go in the judo and those sort of karate and those sort of tournaments?
Who's
because it's a match play situation, so you just got to not lose, right? That's the point.
It's just a bracket. Yeah. It's a bracket like a tennis tournament.
Yeah. So the favourites usually, is it a pretty reliable sport for favourites?
Yeah, and he won the world champs. There was a world championships earlier in the year that he saluted. It's just a lay down.
Nikolai. On the radio, just by the way, we had the TikTok guy on, Dan. And Fletch said to the TikTok guy, he said, all right, mate, give us a tip in Narromine. It's in 8 minutes. He said, how many nuts? So there's nine horses in the race. And he wanted a tip from the TikTok guy. And he said, have an exacta, one from eight. So for those who don't know what an exacta is, you need to select the first two in the exact order. Anyway, you wouldn't believe it. All these text messages come through. He's jagged the bloody trot. He's jagged the exacta.
Wow.
Yeah, one from eight. So there you go. Wow. What are you backing, Dan?
We all think he's getting mail, right, with the numbers. Mm.
You
he's
know what? Mail. It probably is. But and here's another Bambi. For the people whose worlds are collapsing for this blood, who gives a rat's?
I'm the same. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Apparently it's on a publicly available website anyway. Later that night, but that no one really
knew about. So the thing is, nobody was downloading this app. It's the COVID Safe app, right? And the understanding is that he's getting it off the COVID Safe app, which they're saying is crap, right?
Yeah, okay.
But the downloads of the COVID Safe app have gone through the roof on the back of Mr. TikTok guy getting that. Anyway, what are you backing, Dan?
Well, I'm not backing. The boomers will be dominating me at $1.50 because I think they have to win a medal. They just have to win a medal. And I just can't, even if they get stuck in a bronze medal game again, I just can't see them losing to. Argentina is not the team they used to be. Slovenia might be something. But I just can't see us not winning a medal. I'm looking here at the projections, right? Can we go through these quickly? So this is from a company called Grace Note. So BMX, we don't know. Let's assume that's right. Logan Martin, because I know nothing about BMX. Canoe. Jess Fox, the wonderful Jess Fox. Canoe is a fluky sport. Remember, not only do you have to be the best on the day, but you have to get the best run. You have to get a bit lucky.
She was very short last Olympics.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch it.
I'm not calling it a choke, but she was supposed to be a tap-in. She went silver or bronze. She got a medal.
Yeah, we've got her budgeted for
she
two.
She got medals.
Mm. They've budgeted for two this time, Dan.
Surfing, yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. So they're giving her two out of our 16. Sally Fitzgibbon in the women's surfing. How does Sally go in big events? I don't know. Has she ever been world champion? I don't think she has, but I'm happy to be corrected on that. Rowing the women's fours. Sailing. We always seem to pinch one in sailing. They've got something. Have we ever? Michael Diamond, I suppose, but James Willett and Letitia Scanlon, Russell, the other. What was his name? Russell
Diamond,
Victorian. That one. No, Michael Diamond Michael and Diamond. Russell. Anyway, mixed team. But swimming, Kaylee McKeon. They've got winning three. Emma McKeon, and I think she'll win two or three. Emma McKeon, they've got winning the 100 freestyle. Ariane Titmus has got to take on the great Katie Ledecky in the women's 200. We will win the relay, the 4x100 women, so lock that in. There's something called the mixed 100 freestyle, so now it's two and two. We'll win that. And you're right, that event will win because the second favourite, the 400 freestyle, is an Aussie.
What do you mean the mixed?
A male and female, is that what you mean? What's the mixed?
I believe it has to be mixed 4x100 freestyle.
Just on that.
So
just
it's not
on
medley.
That. Do is there any reason why sports like archery, shooting, do we need to have male and female classifications for those type of sports?
Weightlifting.
No, those the physical ones you do, but for well, the more shooting, archery, do we need to have...
Skill-based.
Yeah, skill-based. Do we actually need to have male-female classifications?
Well, I know we've come a long way in, you know, equality and everything, but there's something nice about the men's and women's like we've been doing for...
Equestrian, do you need to have...
Probably not. Anyway. Doesn't matter what sex the horse is.
Well, equestrian doesn't.
Equestrian doesn't.
Does equestrian have men's or women's? It certainly has. Oh, no, you know it does because it has mixed teams. And
anyway. We just leave the Olympics alone. Like, skateboarding.
Oh, skateboarding, yeah.
And then we've never had a mixed swimming race.
Surfing. Here's I mean, bambi. Surfing's not an Olympic sport for me.
Here's my bit. Does that hurt you to have surfing there? Mate, the skateboard kitty has more Twitter followers or Instagram followers than Ash Barty, apparently. Let them market to the kids. Okay, the Olympics are dying. Let them try and win a few kids over on the way through.
Rightio. So what have you done? You go on the boomers.
Don't watch the skating. You'll watch it. You'll watch it. It'll be on a Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock. And Mel will throw to the
Not only will I watch it, I'll be betting on it.
His last sermon is this. He opened up the segment with, "I won't be watching the BMX." Anyway, after this, we're talking a bit of rugby league.
I've watched the BMX. That's boring.
Anyway, that's us. That's us. Forget them on side. Subscribe is the way to do that. Players, get stuck into Try July. Thank you very much to Dan, Sean, Alex, Alicia, Pete, Cam, and to all the listeners and the viewers. And we'll catch you next week. But most importantly, Shawnee.
Gamble responsibly as always.
We have to go. We can't get back to the present to fix the past and save the future. All good, mate. It's just... Let's go live in our boat day!
Hey! Ramo's any time try scorer!
Yeah, got up! We just need the overs now!
Right up!
Don't miss Sportsbet's new Bet with Mates. Start your group, bet together, and share in the moment. Bet with Mates, new from Sportsbet.